The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
There's a buzzword around rugby league at the minute, Parky.
What's that one?
Crisis. We're in crisis. The game's in crisis. Clubs are in crisis. Summer Bash is in crisis.
I thought it was the name of a new place where a rugby league team's going to be taking off at.
Whole club in crisis with injuries. Widnes club in crisis with injuries.
Okay.
Everyone's in crisis. It's not looking good, is it?
Depends who you are, though, doesn't it? I mean, for Widnes, it's not looking particularly good. I saw them on Friday night, by the way, against Wakefield. That was a terrible
Leeds,
game.
Leeds, club in crisis.
Are they?
Injury-wise.
I mean, okay, yeah, they're missing a few. They are missing a few.
Hull were that desperate. Hull were that desperate. They brought Kurt Yeaman out of retirement. They'd be bringing you out of retirement next.
Really? Why, you'd have me? They've obviously not heard of my... I did actually trial for the school team once, but Stuart Little flattened me. And that was the end of my rugby career.
He's an hard lad, Stuart Little.
Yes, he is.
Still looks quite fierce. I mean, the dugout at Swinton.
To be fair, talking about Swinton just very briefly, and I know we'll talk a lot more about Championship, but great to see them getting their first win of the campaign.
Go on the Lions.
Eat 'em up, Lions.
Okay. Is the game in crisis? Do you agree with me or are you disagreeing?
To be fair, the game's been in crisis for 120 odd years, hasn't
well,
it?
Well, we were just talking, weren't we, about you were on about the great Kevin Ashcroft, about a situation where he had at Lee, where the camping in the grounds make sure no one can change the locks on the gates and whatever.
Yeah, that's true. And that particular season that Kevin took charge there, he got Lee promoted. And then sadly, for some inexplicable reason, got sacked at the end of it.
And what year was that?
This was 1992.
Flash forward, 2018. Same thing, isn't it? Oh, right. We're not actually camping
in the
ground.
We've not got camping in the ground. I wouldn't recommend it to the LSV.
But you've got clubs seriously under pressure financially.
Oh, there is. I mean, you've only got to look
at... Rugby league and debt go hand in hand.
You've only got to look at League One clubs and you look at some of the attendances those guys are getting and you do wonder how are they affording to put a team on the field. But... yeah, I'd sooner look on the more positive side because you can quite easily get drawn into the negatives. I mean, yes. I was reading an article in the newspaper just before we went on air about Mike Latham bringing up a complaint against Paul Rowley and
is that still
Simon
going on,
Finnegan.
Is Paul Rowley still falling out with Lee 3 years later?
Well, 2 years after he left.
2 years later, then.
2 years after he left.
Get over it, guys.
Regardless of what has happened, regardless of how people have behaved, they'll be found guilty by what they've said, won't they?
Do you think it's just sour grapes from the league or Toronto beat them?
I don't know.
Or is Paul Rowley the master winding everybody up at the least?
I don't know. I've heard a few things which I know that I can't broadcast and I can't possibly say because I can't substantiate them. I don't think many people come out of this with any sort of glory whatsoever, but... You can't keep looking over your shoulder and looking back because you just get what you've always got. You've got to look forward at one point. And I'll include Paul Rowley at that as well. I mean, you'll hear an interview from him in a little while where he sounds absolutely ecstatic for the first minute and a half about beating Lee.
I would.
Really?
Anyone would.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced.
I mentioned everyone being in crisis. I'd say one club that isn't in crisis.
Go on.
St. Helens.
They just keep on rolling on
to
the next
win. Good times are back. The good times are back, end of, with the barber.
And it
is. Not the hair barber, the Benny Barber.
Benny Barber is in some tremendous form, isn't he? But it was Johnny Lomax that did all the damage at the weekend,
yes,
wasn't it?
How can we forget the Lomax?
He was fantastic. In fact, they showed Jake Truman up something rotten, didn't they? I know a lot's been read about him. He's a good young player. But they kept targeting him relentless throughout the game. And Jake Truman was found wanting. And you're right, it was lads like Roby that was doing it. It was lads like Lomax. Barber was doing that sweeping movement out to his wing. And the lad just couldn't, he didn't know what was coming at him next, to be fair.
They're all there, aren't they? The Amor, the Percival.
You're making it sound like you're going through a list of pubs here, Adrian. I'm sure he had a pint at the Percival once.
The Holbrook. He's doing wonders, isn't he?
The Holbrook Arms. Yeah. There you go.
So, things looking good for St. Helens. Welcome to the final hooter, Adrian Jackson, David Parkinson, talking rugby league on loverugbyleague.com. Thank you very much to Radio General for letting us use the fantastic equipment.
It is fantastic as well. And, you know, it's good to have you back pushing the buttons because I was doing that last week.
I'm impressed with your Blackpool tan, by the way.
Oh,
I'm liking the tan.
I tell you what, yeah, roasting. It was roasting. For the benefit of those people that actually can't see because it's a podcast, just describe it.
Lobster.
Lobster. Right over the nose, right over the cheeks. Mm. I've got rosy red cheeks. I've got a red nose. I mean, to be fair, the nose is the easiest thing
to get
with me.
Don't show me your legs. I don't want to see the legs.
No. My ankles always stay covered.
Okay. We'll stick with the lobster. The lobster look.
But believe it or not, there were people worse than me.
Yeah, you mentioned Riggy was roasted.
Yeah, Ian Rigg from Swinton. I offered him use of some sun cream on day two of the Blackpool Bash. And I'm glad that he took me up on the offer, because I tell you what, he would have needed turning over, I think, after about 3 o'clock on Sunday.
While you were in Blackpool, I was covering a bit of Super League, Warrington versus Hull. That was a mixed game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Talk about two halves, two distinctly different halves. Mm. You had Hull dominating the first half and going 12-0 up. Everybody at the game I was at on Friday night.
Oh, you were at Witness, weren't you?
Yeah, they were all looking at the phones and all saying at half time, surely it can't be done, this. This is sounding like it's terrible for Warrington. There was a few people getting quite excited, to be honest, about the fact that Warrington could lose again.
Witness fans are always excited if Warrington are getting beat.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't just Witness fans. This is some of the press, some of the trusted press members. You know, we were all getting really excited at the fact that Hull were in front. But to their immense credit, Warrington played a stormer of a second half, didn't they?
Yeah, I just thought Hull ran out of steam, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was more a case of Hull tiring rather than Warrington's good play?
No, well, a bit of both, really. I thought Hull tired, and the young lads for the black and whites made a good fist of it first half, but then once Warrington went through the gears, got a bit more possession, won the forward battle, it was Warrington's win all day.
So it was like three tries in the first 19 minutes of the second half, and then two tries in the last 18 minutes, which won the day, wasn't it, for Warrington?
Mm. So, yeah, game of two halves. Classic saying, but it's a game of two halves.
I like it.
Let's hear from Steve Price.
I thought we were, you know, too lateral at times, and you know, displayed in our first half when we went over the sideline pitch in the first set. Then we gave away a penalty the second set in yardage, and I think we didn't give two kick pressures on their good ball sets. So you know, it was just a little bit of an attitude change which we spoke about. I was really pleased with the playing group, how they turned around in the second half. That was a really quality football display in the second half. We completed 86%. First half was 35%, but that at times I think it was up to the 28th minute, we're at 22%. So, you know, you're never going to give yourselves a chance to be able to do that. And then we come out, we completed high, and we scored some fantastic tries in the second half.
Whatever was said at the half-time rate seemed to work wonders because they came out all guns blazing.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a credit to the playing group to be able to go out there and execute the game plan and not get flustered. It was only two tries. We know within the team that we've got, you know, the ability to be able to score points fast. Mm. So, you know, that wasn't a concern. We just had to just change a little bit of our attitude, and you know, the credit to the guys, they done that.
Great team effort, but who was the standout performer in the coach's eye?
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of good standouts. I thought, you know, Deck gave us something different when he come on, you know, in that second half. I thought Steph Ratchett was tremendous at the back, and, you know, the continuity that Kev and Tyrone displayed in the second half was very pleasing. And, you know, Jack Hughes is doing a lot of dirty work on and off the ball. And, you know, I thought when Chris was really direct in that second half, Hilly, you know, that's what we got our best momentum playing off the back of that.
Certainly youngster Harvey Levette. So he's been around the club a while, but certainly settling into the role as a second rower.
Yeah, he is. You know, he hasn't played a lot of you know, background in the first team, and the more games he plays, the more experience he gets, the better he's going to be. And he's a natural footballer. He's always thereabouts around a try and sniffing. He's got you know, great instinct to be able to sniff out a try, which, you know, says a lot about him as a football player. And you know, once we tidy up a few other aspects in his game, then he's going to be a really, really good football player.
Mentioned the try scored. You seem to enjoy your punching there in the lights at times in the box.
Oh yeah, I sort of sometimes I, you know, get a little bit embarrassed by, you know, some, but I'm just I get animated and just in, you know, just being myself there. And you know, it's just one of those things where sometimes you do get excited.
after the disappointments of the Magic weekend, was it good to get back to winning ways? Was it important to get back to winning ways?
Yeah, certainly. We weren't that far off last week. You know, we played against a really good red-hot football team in Wigan. You know, we gave ourselves a chance up to the 15 minutes prior to half-time, and they ran away with a few tries, but we didn't beat ourselves up over it. Got them again next week, so it's going to be one hell of a game.
It's going to be a taster game, and this is a good workout for that game.
Yeah, certainly. We've come through healthy after the game. You know, a few bumps and bruises, but nothing will sort out, and then we big week of training next week.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
So the price is right for Warrington.
Ah, I like it.
I've been waiting
to use
that line.
Have you been watching 80s television shows or something? Last time I saw you?
Can you tell?
The price is right.
Price is right.
Who else did that one? Was Steve Price bombing that without? Probably not.
You know, probably not. No, was it Leslie Crowther?
It was, wasn't it?
I mean, I know there's a couple of Crowthers knocking around in rugby league these days playing at Wakefield, but and one at Dewsbury as well. But, lost in nostalgia.
I always feel old when I interview Steve Price because I know he's younger than me. Not very often you get to interview coaches that are younger than you.
How do you feel when you're interviewing players, though? Because, you know, most players these days that you get to speak to are between 20 and 30 years old, aren't they?
It's even worse because when I've interviewed Matt Percival, obviously I interviewed his brother when I first started when he was at Widnes.
Yeah.
I used to play rugby against his dad in my playing days. So, yeah, makes me feel really old. And even Gary Richardson played against his dad.
So we're going to try and not make you feel old for the rest of the season.
Yeah, can we do that, please?
We'll do our level best.
Even though we've got Chris Chester lined up, I think he's younger than me.
Yeah, I think he is. I think you're right there.
Thanks. Can we hear from him right now?
Let's hear from him.
With quite a few boo-boos with the ball, but I thought defensively we looked pretty good. We worked hard all week on that side of the game. We made too many errors that second half. We just tried to force a pass a little bit, and I think we kick the ball dead once, and then we get an opportunity when Tom goes down the sideline, and you know, just as execution wasn't where it needed to be. I just thought we were two nervous teams tonight, but I thought we would deserve the result. I thought defensively, like I said, defensively we were pretty good. 2 points are very, very important this time of year. I'd rather win ugly than lose pretty. We've lost a few games playing pretty football, but tonight we just had to grind it out and get a result. And I was really pleased. I was pleased for Tom Johnson as well. He came in and really shone and took his try really well. I thought his yardage carries were good and defensively strong. I thought Justin Horrell probably had his best game for us. I think he played 77 minutes on either the edge or the middle. And I thought it was Pack were good. I thought when Big Dave and Tirona came on, they really changed the tempo of the game. So, pleasing result. And I just hope now that just gives us that little bit of confidence and a little bit more belief in ourselves. We've got some really important games coming up. We've got a massive month coming up. I think it's three home games: Wigan, Warrington, and we play Widnes again. It's a massive month, and it could really, you know, really shape a season. You know, we've played well at home this year. We're just going to make sure that we continue, try and build some momentum going into the Super 8.
The Chester speaks.
I know.
And he's right, there's a big month, but how many times will you hear coaches say that?
Well, we're
over
in that
the next couple of weeks.
We're in that period, aren't we, where there's about 8 games left.
We've got a big month.
Big month ahead.
He mentioned Big Al, Big Dave, he mentioned Big everybody then.
I think big was the word there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it was a big victory, having said that, for Wakefield. They needed it. They've been a team that's been really struggling for form. I know Widnes have as well. I think I clocked it that Widnes have only won 1 of the last 9. Wakefield have only won 2 of the last 8. So, you know, something had to give on Friday night. So we've already heard about the wins for Warrington and the wins for Wakefield. But who else won in round 16? There were
I don't know,
wins,
you're going to tell us.
Further wins for St Helens, for Catalan Dragons, for Hull Kingston Rovers, magnificent that against Wigan, by the way, best win of the season for me, and also Huddersfield Giants over Salford Red Devils.
Yeah, Hooker might have got the victory, but there were still fans in the ground screaming that Tim Sheens needs to go.
Really?
Yeah.
After that?
Yes.
I mean, they've got more injuries than you can shake a soggy stick at the minute.
They're hard fans to please at Hawkinson Rovers, you know that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, I can't believe anybody asking for Tim Sheen's head. I mean, beating Wigan. I mean, this was a Wigan that tated Warrington the other week.
And unfortunately, it puts Widnes on the bottom of the ladder.
It does, yes. Widnes bottom on 6 points. Hulkingston over second bottom with 8. And then Catalans Dragons and Salford Red Devils both on 10 points. Huddersfield Giants, by virtue of their victory, have moved into the top 8 again. I wonder whether they'll stay there for the rest of the campaign.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right, we've been talking Super League, and while the rest of the country is watching the European Cup final between Liverpool and Real Madrid, hardened fans of the Championship were in the summer bash where watching the action in Blackpool, and you were one of them.
I was, yeah. Great weekend again. I've got to pay tribute to the Rugby League in this respect.
I saw bits of it on the telly. There's some good games.
But Rugby League usually gets a kick in, doesn't it?
It does.
And, you know, but the organisation that they do for this weekend is always one of the top events, to be honest.
And I like the summer bash.
I enjoy covering it.
I think it's I like the Magic Weekend, but I prefer the summer bash.
Yeah. Where were you this weekend then? Don't tell me you was watching that funny round ball game, watching a goalkeeper come up with errors.
I was in the World of Super League and then watching that.
Yeah. All right, okay. Okay. I don't know whether to let you
off. I do apologise.
I thought I was expecting you on Sunday. I'd got you a sticker rock and everything.
Maybe next year.
There was some fish and chips with your name on it.
Oh,
unbelievably,
damn.
You missed them.
Missed the fish and chips.
I had to have two portions. I'll never lose any weight.
That's get back in pre-season training for next year.
But yeah, a great spectacle. You're right. There was 6 high-quality championship games. Started off on the Saturday. Oh, there was also a women's match as well.
There was. Don't forget the women's match.
The women's Super League match, which Bradford Bulls defeated Featherstone Rovers. I think it was 46-22. Sadly, there was a bit of traffic on my way up, so I only got into the ground at half-time of that one, so I didn't get to see as much of it as possibly I would have liked to. But there seemed to be some good skills on show. Starting with the first game, and it was a really big result for Mark Aston and his Sheffield Eagles side. He just got his son Corey back on loan there for another month. And Corey came up with a great performance. 3 tries and 4 goals he scored over the course of the match. I thought that whilst they'd been a little bit inconsistent in the league, they found certainly some consistency. Were really helped out, to be honest, by top performances by back rower Josh Toole and also Menzieri making a comeback.
Oh, the jukebox.
Yes, it's his first game of the season, it was, because of issues.
I like the jukebox. He's my favourite player.
He is. He's a top guy, top player, and he scored a try as well on
How
his comeback.
How old is he?
Oof, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Mid-30s, I guess, now. Still going. He's strong. He's brute force, and he's just good in defence as well. Like you mentioned, jukebox is his nickname. That's because he has all the hits in his locker.
Like it.
Did you?
Let's hear from the Mr. Charisma himself, Mark Aston. I like listening to Mark Aston. Let's hear from him.
You know, we were a desperate team today, we showed it, and I thought we started the game with a great amount of intent in us, which is what important, and we stuck to his guns. We had a spell again, I suppose, where we let ourselves down, but overall, you know, we completed in the second half, we were clinical, which we talked about at half time. We got the result, which was the most important thing. We've been brutally honest with each other, and I've been giving them an hard time about them not being a team, they're a group, and I've seen in the last week or so, I've seen a little bit change in the mindset. I thought we were great last week against London, albeit we got beat by 40 points. In the first 30 minutes, we were winning 6-0, and then just after half time for the next 30 minutes, it was 12-8, 12-20. We had to try this aloud. So those signs last week that we were just starting to knit together. And there was a special mention for a couple of young kids in there, Weldon, first game for months and months. And he's coming to this today, and I thought it was great. I thought it was absolutely outstanding. As you know, most of them, that was a special performance for him and some of the others who stood up there. So, I got a much needed win. We can now just have a week away, have a look at each other, and come back in, and I've got a massive game against Switzerland. They deserved it today, they were good.
How big an advantage is it for this young lad, Aston, that
he's a similar? He needs to learn that kick, doesn't he? His goal kicking, what's wrong with him? He's good because he's
he's been around the club, obviously it's his hometown club, and he needed some confidence, and he got it today. We talked with Paolo last night at Do, and we talked about confidence, and hopefully, you know, he'll get the confidence out of that today and kick on.
You spoke in the week about obviously Corey and Corey in the offs. You must be very impressed with not just Aston but with Maitland as well.
He's been very good as Maitland. You know, he's come in, he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, he's got a bit of character, he swaggers a bit, he talks to him, he rips in, and it's what we've needed. It's what we've needed, a bit of character, because the characters aren't in the game anymore, and Corey Maitland's certainly one of the characters, and he's kicked a few backsides over the last few weeks and that, and he's passionate, he wants to be winning, he wants to win like Aldo, and you know, the signs that we're starting to build a little bit of a bit of momentum now, and I just think we can take a lot of credit out of that, you know, a lot of positives out of that performance. And you know, even when we had a little bit of a rocky spell, we still had enough to go and finish the job off.
I thought Josh Toole also stood up to be
kind of another one, but Toole hasn't played, you know, he hasn't played a lot of rugby for us since he got it. He's been unfortunate with injuries, but I've always thought that he'll end up in the back row or 13, and he's tough. He's really tough. He's, you know, he's got some big legs on him, and it takes a lot of holding, and, you know, he's a smart player as well, so he runs some real good lines. So, you know, he's going to be a bonus for us playing week in, week out, and that's what we need. You know, we've got Matty James come back, missed him again, and one or two others that are going to be young Greg Burns, young Paddy Burns, two of my own lads that come through his system, both missed out through injury today. So there's a few people, there's going to be a bit of competition for places, which again, last few weeks has been down to 17. We've got people I'm leaving out now, which is healthy.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we've spoken, you've been really struggling to get players in, haven't you?
Yeah, and we've let one or two go out. You know, Beyond's gone at it, we released him. We'll fetch your mic in. And that's the people I want. I want people that want to develop, want to be the best they can be. And young Mikey Weldon, you know, come through the St. Helens system, you can see the little things in him that he's come through a very, very good system. So that's the people we're looking for. And, you know, if there's other people, there's one or two other people that I'm talking to, and, you know, we'll fetch him in if we can.
And once he's been getting Menzingeri back as well.
But he does what he does, doesn't he? You've been jukeboxed some of them today, haven't you? So, it's a calming influence on that left-hand side. And when you've got young Ashworth and Corey and then Menzie, you know, it's more so. I'm going to give a mention to it, probably who I thought would have been my man of match today, were probably Ben Blackmore. I thought he was outstanding. He got us a number of penalties at the back end there, which was just fine for quick play of the balls and that. So I thought he was probably one of the better players today.
I like that saying. They've been jukeboxed.
They've been jukeboxed. Yeah, it's a Mark Aston special.
Tell you what, if I was a young lad coming through the game, that's where I'd want to go.
Really?
Yeah. Just be coached by Mark Aston.
I do think, I mean, he has got loads going for him, hasn't he, down there?
Yeah. I mean, you look at the facilities you've got. You've got a guy who's very knowledgeable of the game. He knows how to get the best out of players.
He's very passionate.
He's passionate.
He's coached on the international stage for a few years
exactly.
Now, hasn't he?
So, you know, if I was a young lad coming through the game, my destination would be Sheffield.
Oh, I like that. Big up the Sheffield.
Big up the Sheffield Eagles.
The Eagles flying once more with a defeat of Barrow in the first game of the summer bash.
How are Barrow finding life in the Championship?
Barrow's been really good, actually, and I know that they lost this game. I suppose their coaching staff would look at it quite heavily, but they've consolidated really well. Up until that, they'd actually won five of the last six points, so it was really, really good for them, in all honesty. So, you know, they've settled well, yeah. They've done better than I anticipated them doing, to be honest, but they got some points early doors, didn't they? Because they defeated Lee at home, they drew with Toronto, which was unexpected, and but they've been very competitive.
So a good win for Sheffield to kick off day one of the Summer Bash. And quickly following up on that one was a good win for Halifax over Featherstone.
It was. They had to win this twice, though, Halifax. They were dominant in the first half against Featherstone. Featherstone could do very little right, in all honesty. Trailed by 14 points to nil at half-time, thanks to tries from Morell and Tyra. And then in the second half, Featherstone fought back, and in the space of, what, 9 second-half minutes, scored tries through Hock, Thackeray and Wildey, Hartman kicking all 3 goals. And then, as I said, they had to win it again. They had a try from Johnston, which brought them level. That was converted by Grady, who taking over the kick-in because Tyra had been put in the bin at the time.
You're on about the sin bin, not the dustbin?
I was,
okay,
yes,
let's just clear that up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I would never put Steve Tyra in a dustbin. A, because he'd come after me. And B, he's a damn fine player who, in my opinion, should still be playing in Super League. But yes, so Halifax then scored a very late try, a second from Scott Morell, and it was all done and dusted. But yeah, having to win a game twice shows a lot of character, and Halifax, they're on the coattails of the top four.
Give it every year, don't they?
They certainly do. I mean, looking at the table as it stands at the moment, they're just a point behind. Just a point behind that top four. Something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
Something definitely, given the third game of the Summer Bash. This was the much-anticipated clash between Lee Centurions and the Toronto Wolfpack.
Let's rephrase that. It's Lee Centurions versus Paul Rowley.
Well, it depends who you speak to and what have you, but I've already had my saying on what I feel should happen there about people knocking their heads together and moving on. Mm. Let us keep it strictly rugby league for the time being.
Okay, go on then. All right.
Because Lee should not have lost this game from the position that they were in. They were leading after 60 minutes, I think it was, by 26 points to 12. They ended up losing by 26 points to 28. Toronto really came at them in that final 20 minutes, scored a couple of tries back-to-back, and then Peter Matautia got himself sin-binned for a high shot on former Warrington player Matty Russell. And, well, Lee lost the heads a little bit, decided that they'd kick down the left-hand side instead of the right. And yes, I am putting it down to one kick. I think that if Lee had kicked to the right-hand side, they would have won the game. They decided to kick to the left. A break was made, which took them right down the field. Toronto then won a penalty two tackles later, tapped it, and then from that position scored a try. It was a cracking try, by the way, from Corey Patterson, who had a decent enough game. Ryan Briley kicks the goal. We get to the final minute, yet more controversy. Andy Ackers, who's the hooker for Toronto, gives away a penalty, trips up a Lee player, and it's 30 metres out from the goals. Up steps Ben Reynolds. All the Lee fans all go nuts. They think he's kicked it. The touch judges wave it away.
Oh, controversy.
Do we know what actually happened? I've been home and I've watched the replay. I can't tell. I honestly can't tell from the view. So it could have been a draw, but it ended up being a good result for the Toronto Wolfpack. What a win. Let's start there.
Yeah, it was a great win, and equally a big loss for Lee. So on two fronts, it's a good day for us.
And also to do it from coming from so far behind as well. I mean, 14 points behind, 20 minutes left. What's the thought process then?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice when you silence people, never assume that a victory's already done until it's done. And we've learned that this year that our team has quite a lot of resilience and a lot of fortitude, and we battled to the end. So yeah, the manner of which we came back, I don't think we played particularly great with the ball, and made some poor decisions defensively. But I think overall, what we did do, and what is really, really pleasing, is I thought we were very, very brave, very committed. Our contact were good, and so we've definitely got a toughness about the team. The other stuff we can work on, and we will get better at naturally, because we're still very much a new team, because we've recruited as the season's gone on. So the team as my strongest 17's not really played together yet. We had arguably our two best players out missing today in Chase Stanley and Darcy Lussick, so we can only get better.
And also to reflect on where you've come from over the course of the season so far, almost every week has been away.
Yeah, and it soon gets forgotten that, and people sometimes say, well, they're not convincing winners either, or whatever, wherever we've been. But been away, like you say, every week, so
And you know this competition. I mean, there's some tough places to go, isn't there?
Yeah, very tough. And when you start a season, you talk about going places like Dewsbury. Any win's a good win at Dewsbury. Any win's a good win at Batley. So, no, we're really, really happy to be sat where we're at. And if I was being honest, I wouldn't have thought we'd be in this position when we first started the season. So, we're happy. I think today was a huge win. I think it was a great game. I thought both sides played it really in good spirit, to be fair. There was only the one incident in the corner, which I think was unintentional, the high shot there. But it was a good game.
Just thinking about where you go from now, because now it's that destination Canada, isn't it, for the rest of the season?
Yeah, so we've got a good stint now in Canada, so we're at home, and where do we go? Yeah, we want to continue our form, so it's a little bit of a different distraction for our home, our players who's not been there before, so we want to ensure that the team remains focused, so we'll see how that challenge is met by our players. But you know,
how do you bed those players in? You know, because obviously it's a really unusual thing, because over the course of a season you'd expect to go home and away, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, we've got routine when we get over there, so we're pretty well versed on that. You know, that's why League One was important to us last year, to help to smooth out some of the bumps in the road for us. But yeah, we're looking forward to getting back home, if you call it home. So
I've probably not spoken to you properly since those League One days, which seem far in the distant past now, but you mentioned there are a lot of lessons learned, and that's really set the club up, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, and what I'll say is, in League One itself, I think we had a positive influence on League One, and I think League One this year, everyone's seen, it's brilliant. It's a really strong competition in Championship, a really strong competition in League One, so there is life outside of Super League, and whilst we all want to get to Super League, it's just a good ground and a good environment, sorry, and you know, there's some other clubs now knocking on the door, and potentially big clubs like York, Newcastle, Bradford, all them sort of clubs, so yeah, it's good. We're glad we did it there. You know, we're glad we got to Championship.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Paul Rowley sounded like he was getting homesick there.
Really?
Yeah, he kept...
For which place?
He kept on saying he wanted to go back home to Canada.
Yeah?
But they haven't been there this year, have they?
Well, once.
Once.
Played Swinton there the
other
week,
didn't he? Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, but that wasn't even at the proper ground. That was at somewhere 20 miles away from Toronto.
Yeah, a lot have made of that one, but they still got 2,500 to it.
They did. And fair play to them. They're going to have to keep it up for now for the rest of the season, aren't they, and impress the home fans.
I'm sure they will. So we'll go down to day one of the Summer Bash. Day two of the cracking start.
Oh, it had a super start. London Broncos against Toulouse. For me, this was my favourite game of the weekend. Not just because I was working on it and commentating for Love Rugby League, and you'd be able to hear selected Championship coverage over the Facebook audio over the course of the season, but the fact that Mark Carella should be playing in Super League.
Well, he might be with Toulouse.
He is a brilliant player, you know. Absolutely fantastic. Toulouse could get there. They just need to tighten up in defence, but they have multi-skilled players. Jonathan Ford as well at halfback. He is an absolute magician. At times, looks really lazy and laboured with the ball, and then suddenly he'll fling a 30-yard pass that'll just go straight to a winger to score. Tony Morell scored the best try of the entire weekend, probably the best try of the season. Carella picks it up 2 metres from his own line, goes on a 70-metre run, links with the youngster Worthington, who looks like he's getting caught, and then a one-handed offload finds Morell, who skips away to the post.
London had a great start to the season. All of a sudden, they're being pegged back, and it looks like they're hanging in there for a top four finish now.
It does. I mean, fortunately, because of their earlier performances, like you say, they're still in the box seat, but it does make you wonder just what those three defeats to Lee Centurions in 6 weeks did to the confidence levels. They're a good side, though. Can score a lot of points as well. Didn't quite have enough to go toe-to-toe with Toulouse, though, in the first game.
Always love a greater Manchester derby, Swinton versus Rochdale. Let's hear from Stuart Little. Swinton got the win, and not just that, but the first win of the season.
We've been in some dark places this year and come through some defeats. Obviously, some weeks, I think, what can I say to you? Saying the same stuff, consistent with what we're saying about consistency and personal errors. I was a bit disappointed, you know, at half time. I thought, yeah, we're in front, but I didn't think we were playing to our potential, and I thought we could go up a notch. I challenged the boys to go up a notch, take some personal stuff on board, and they responded. I thought Josh Woods really controlled the game and showed what he's about and why he's pushing that Wigan first team. Max game management, Jack Hansen stood up, big second half. Obviously, the forwards in the middle, I thought our bench, Hayden Hansen, Andy Thornley, come on, did a real good job. But it's just the beginning, isn't it? We need to kick on. We've got a massive month, like we know. We've got 3 points out of four, but there's another four to be aimed at. We've obviously Rochdale next week and Sheffield after that. We've got to start looking up the table and start clawing a few of these teams back into the fight with us. I said to the boys, obviously we knew how big the game was, and we knew
how much we needed to win. I thought we started really well, but then we dropped the kickoff off the back of it and we're back to Swinton. Do you know, it's, here we go again, do you know, that's us. And you think, please not today. And thought we dug in, we're resilient. A little disappointed to concede to the late try after I challenged the boys to try and keep it to six. But can't be too picky. Obviously, off the board. I'd like to thank every fan who stood by us week after week. The families of the boys, they've been down some weeks, and last week we've had to pick the boys up. Monday, Tuesday, this week's very hard after losing that game on the battle, not losing, but losing the 2 points on the last spell last week. But we knew we want to embrace this month, want to enjoy it, want to challenge each other. And I've got a good group in there, as you can see, and I'm very proud of every one of them today. Nothing's achieved winning one game at Bash, is it? We've got to kick on now, we've got to drag some other teams into it, getting that grind. Like I said to the boys, hard work, togetherness will get us out of this. There's bigger jobs on the horizon, isn't there? We can only worry about the one in front of us, but no doubt about it, it was a big month this month. We've got 3 points out of four, like I said, there's another four to be aimed at. We're doing our best to get the four.
Do you reckon they'll do it?
You know what? I've seen Swinton twice over this last couple of weeks and I've been really, really impressed with them. They play some top attacking rugby league and I think if they can get Josh Woods available to them for the next month, they will do very well. As Stuart alluded to, the fine young player from Wigan, one of many that they tend to sign, to be fair, and he guided them to that 38-12 win against Rochdale.
Great Manchester winner. Just noticed in your interview, it sounded very windy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It looked sunny on the telly.
Yeah, but unfortunately where they had the presser and where you had to go,
was you in the wind tunnel?
It was in a bit of a wind tunnel, so apologies there, everybody.
No problem. Big win for Swinton in the Greater Manchester Derby, and then it ended with a heavy Woolen Derby, and this was an intriguing battle. It looked like Batley were going to get the job done, but geez, we just nicked it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny game, this one, you know, because, I mean, Batley seemed to be stuck together with sticking back plaster. They had, like, loads of players who seemed to have late numbers. You know, so it wasn't, you know, normally you'd look at 6 and 7, wouldn't you? But they had a 25 and a 28 combining at halfback, and
right,
a 30
okay.
in at hooker, so it suggests that they weren't on the first choice players by all accounts.
Mm.
Take nothing away from Dewsbury Rams, though. It was a bit of a funny game because by this stage, I'd sort of hit the wall as far as the rugby league coverage are concerned.
You had rugby league over.
I kind of like packed in almost as it got to the end of the fifth game.
You should have took your Duracell batteries then.
I know, I should have done. But so I maybe didn't see this in quite the best way that it was. I've since seen the highlights and there were some thrilling tries scored.
There were some great tries, some big hits. I was impressed with the young lad Farrell. Battling.
Which one? They've got two. Both brothers.
Is he
the halfback Isaac?
No, the other guy.
Oh, was it Joel?
Joel.
I mean, to be honest, Joel was one of those guys that if I was a Super League club, I'd be picking him up and use it and sort of like, I hate to use the word, but development player. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Usually most Super League squads carry one or two development players and yeah, he's a good guy. I did snap something on my Twitter where I was suggesting about growing my hair for one of those Farrell brothers.
I think it'd suit you.
You reckon?
Yeah.
But either of them. Because, I mean, Isaac...
Definitely go with the dreadlocks.
Isaac sort of has it sort of shaved around the back of his head and, you know...
No,
his brother was growing it out, you know, and it was going like kind of... If you think Fooey Fooey Mai Mai, long...
Definitely go over your black pillar town.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Right.
I can see you strutting around the streets of Lee in that haircut.
Rocking the look.
Exactly. Everyone would think Philly Philly's back in town.
Oh, I won't go that far.
See the big hit he got. Welcome back to League One when he's playing for Workington against Coventry Bears.
Oh, it was ace that, wasn't it? I think he had the final laugh, didn't he?
He did, but what a hit that was.
And to be honest as well, you know, Workington also getting in form this week, defeating Newcastle Thunder.
Big win for them.
Sean Penkovic turning back the clock with a hat-trick.
Can't take away the talent, can you?
No, you can't. Class is permanent, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Other wins in League One for Bradford Bulls, winning 68-0 at Hemel Stags. Over 700 there. That's a big attendance as far as they're concerned. Hunslet 86, West Wales Raiders 0, so they're still finding it really tough on the road. Keithley Cougars outdoing London Scholars 26 points to 18. North Wales Crusaders defeating Coventry Bears 42-6. A couple of tries there for Ollie Ashall-Bott, who's on dual reg from Widnes. Whitehaven, they had a great result against York City Knights. That's got to be the result of the weekend, to be honest. 26 points to 18. Fantastic.
Next week, it's all about the Challenge Cup, isn't it? We're at the quarter-final stages. Who's playing who?
Well, this coming Thursday, it's Huddersfield against Catalans. Friday sees Leeds Rhinos against Leigh Centurions. Don't turn up at Headingley because it's not playing there. It's being played at Featherstone. Saturday sees Warrington against Wigan. It's Wigan week, of course, for anybody in Warrington. St Helens are then playing Hull on the Sunday. We also have a Super League game between Hull Kingston Rovers and Castleford Tigers. A championship game on the Saturday involving Batley and Halifax, and a championship game on the Sunday involving Swinton Lions and Rochdale Hornets. There's some Betfred League One action as well. Hunslet take on Whitehaven, Oldham take on Doncaster, West Wales take on Newcastle.
Some great games coming up.
There is some crackers in there, absolute crackers. I know. I'm really looking forward to getting over to Swinton for a repeat of that Greater Manchester Derby, like you said before.
Wow, you couldn't have scripted that any better with the fixtures, could they?
No, no. I mean, that's a real, real challenge. Chance for Swinton to knit some wins together.
Never mind, just get the first one, 2-2.
But then Alan Kilshaw, he'll be buzzing for it, won't he? He'll be looking for a big week for his team as well.
He will.
And just to try and get above Swinton again in the table, because that result from Swinton put Rochdale bottom.
Just looking at the Challenge Cup very quickly, can Warrington get that win against Wigan?
You know what? I think they're going to find it really, really tough. I just get the feeling that Wigan are on it this year. And
yeah,
especially seeing as they've announced that Big Sam's going, and also Sean Wayne is on his way.
Yeah.
Then they need to win something, don't they, to farewell both of those guys.
Exactly. I just get the feeling Wigan have got the better of Warrington this year.
Yeah, it certainly felt that way, didn't it, at the Magic weekend. There was certainly a lot of magic from Wigan on that particular occasion. And I'm also looking forward to St Helens taking on Hull, to be honest, as well. I mean, I know Hull are bashed up, battered, bruised, but there's something about this competition, and they're going to be in it to win it, aren't they?
The fans are bashed up and bruised, but they're still eager to have more rugby league, and we love it, don't we?
We certainly do. We'll be back again very, very soon.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital.
With a bigger variety of music. This is your feel-better station.
Radio General.
Radio General.